in the middle class families, the parents seem to have a notion that their duty was to raise children to, in a concerted way, cultivate them, something I call concerted cultivation. And by that I mean that they fostered their children's talents and skills, they enrolled them in organized activities, they reasoned with them through language and asking questions and listening to them, and they monitored their experiences in institutions. The working class and poor families, by contrast, they wanted their children to be safe and happy, and they put boundaries around them, but then within that, they felt that the children would spontaneously grow and thrive. So rather than being involved in organized activities, the children played outside, they watched TV, they played with their cousins. Rather than using reasoning, the parents used directives, things like cut it out, shut up. And once the kids went to institutions, it was really the children's world in the institutions. It wasn't as in middle-class families, where middle-class moms especially were hovering over, calling the teacher and closely supervising the school experience.
In the differences that you found in the amount of activities that children were involved in, is that a difference, do you think, in culture and philosophy between the two groups? Or did you get a sense that if the working class or poorer families could afford to put their children in so many activities, they would do so as well?
Well, that's a hard question, because in this kind of research, you can only have a few families that you study intensively. But I think clearly both factors were important. The lessons are expensive, and also you need private transportation to get to them, because they're off about bus routes, and they're often on Saturdays, and there are rainouts, and it's complicated. So having a private car is extremely helpful. So some of the children were dying to take ballet lessons. For example, a white poor girl really wanted to have ballet lessons, and it was just simply out of the question. But then in addition, the working class and poor families were often skeptical of the kinds of child rearing that they saw middle class parents doing, or at least that I described to them that middle-class parents were doing. And they felt sorry for kids. They said, gosh, he doesn't really have a chance to be a kid. He doesn't get to watch TV. He doesn't seem to have fun. So they seemed to be judgmental of the frenetic, structured childhoods that many middle-class children experience.
Now, as I was reading the book, I kept thinking about the many families that I know who are in this situation you describe, where the children are just so busy, and it seems like all the parents do is shuttle them around, and family schedules are changed, and work is changed, and leisure activities are changed based upon, you know, these children's activities. And you know, as you alluded to, there is this sort of sense that these kids don't have time to be children, that there isn't this sort of Norman Rockwell-esque ability to grow up and, you know, find the pond in the woods and just catch frogs.